Hello, everyone. This is Jesse Gasparo, and you're listening to the Practical Christian Podcast. With me today, as always, Jesse Baptiste.
Hi, guys.
And we have Kevin Glazer, my brother-in-law.
Hello, brother-in-law.
How's it going?
And brother-in-lord.
How's it going?
Not bad.
So, welcome. This is technically season four, I guess. We took a little Christmas break. That's what we're going with. That's our story. And we're sticking to it. We've had a few weeks off. I have a little bit of a cold. Jesse Baptiste has a birthday party or something happening at his house. So just we forgive the audio a little bit if that's a problem. Yeah. The question we're doing today is, I'm losing my desire in spiritual things. How can I find my way back and gain back that desire? Really, really honest, genuine question. We really appreciate this. And I think we can all relate to this in some measure. I'll open in prayer, and then Kevin, you can start us off, okay? Mm-hmm. Our God and our Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your son. And we're just thankful for all that we have been blessed with. We just thank you for the opportunity to address this question. We pray for wisdom as we seek to answer it. And we pray that we would not just seek to answer with knowledge, but that it would be able to speak to the heart of the questioner. And we just pray for help for each of us as our desires and as things sometimes wane in our faith and in our pathway, that you would help rekindle our hearts and help us to stay on fire for you and to live here for your son. We just pray for grace and wisdom, and we ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, yeah. So when I heard the question, the first thing that came to my mind was the fact of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every believer. So I'm just going to read a verse from John 15. My Bible's to the side of me, so just forgive my side glance.
What a beautiful profile.
Yeah. John 15:26 says, but when the Comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit, is come, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then back in chapter 7 of the same book, John 7, it says, at the end of the chapter, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John explains, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now, where the three of us are living, and all the listeners are living, this time we are living in this, the Lord Jesus is glorified. He is in heaven. He's a glorified man. And so the Spirit, the Comforter, has been sent to earth. And as we read in this book, as well as other books, other verses testify that the fact that every living believer in Jesus Christ, every Christian, every true Christian, has the Holy Spirit living in him. And that's a fact that has nothing to do with our efforts. When we believe, we are expressing our belief in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of our confession and our conversion is not, you know, give me the Spirit, Lord. Like, we don't say, like, you don't need to say that. And we don't say that. What we do is trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And upon doing that, the Spirit comes to dwell in us. And so the question of spiritual drive has, of course, to do with I'm assuming, the lack of feeling the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like, that's ultimately what we mean when we say a lack of spiritual drive. It means I'm a Christian, but I don't feel the Spirit propelling me. I don't have a desire to read the Bible. I don't have a desire to pray. I don't have a desire to live the way the Lord Jesus wants me to live, that is through the Spirit. I don't, all of these things, right? But it's important for that believer and any believer struggling with that to understand is you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You cannot increase the amount. The Holy Spirit lives in us as God. It's not, he's not a force. there's not an amount of him. And I know that there's things about filling with the Spirit, and that would be a different topic. We don't need to get technical with that. So the first thing to be comforted with is that the Spirit doesn't leave us. We're never left alone. We don't have to pray for the Spirit to come back into us. We cannot be invaded by other spiritual forces. What can happen is our affections can be dulled, right? And we can quench the Spirit, which is in, that reference is in 1 Thessalonians 5. And we can grieve the Spirit, which is in Ephesians 4. Those are two things we can do, but he doesn't leave. And so just to lay that foundation for the struggling believer as an encouragement.
Amen. Yeah, I think this is a good question. And I feel like the way the person is asking it, I'm losing my desire in spiritual things. It means that the Spirit is speaking to them, right? You know what I'm saying? Is that if the Spirit wants to be, you know, people, they drift away all the time, right? From the Lord's things, but they don't feel that angst to know that, look, you know what I'm saying? I'm moving away, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and so they're like, oh, they don't, you know, you see it happen all the time. You know, people stop coming to meeting, people stop spending time with the Lord, and they can drift into the things of this world. And they may not feel anything. This person, this question is from a person who said, I'm losing my desires. So they're cognizant of the fact that it's happening. And so I think this is actually a good step to know that, you know what, this is happening and I'm realizing that it's happening, and they're asking for help. And as you said, the Spirit is a big thing. And then the flesh is something else that is always warring against each other, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one towards another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So I believe that this person's conscience is bothering them too, right? You know what I'm saying? That they're realizing like something is causing them to pull away from the Lord. I don't know what it is, but they said they have a desire to gain back that desire. And I would say, first, with any relationship, how you gain back that desire, if any relationship is broken in a way, is for you to come back to that person that the relationship is broken with and have a conversation with that person and try to delve into that relationship. How can we do that as Christians? It's by spending time in his word. And then the other thing also is by praying. And so I would say these are the two things that we need to do.
I agree. The thing that jumped out to me when I was thinking about this question was actually from the churches in Revelation. I was thinking about Ephesus when the letter to the church there. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So like they're doing a lot, right? They're doing a lot. And that's all of that stuff is really, really positive. And then in verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love, right? So there's something that you've left, right? You've forgotten the motivation and the reason why you're doing all of this. And, you know, it's a very challenging thing, right? Like, I think when we talk about desire, it's, you know, we all feel things. It's hard to know exactly how someone else is feeling, right? Maybe you're feeling something slightly different than what I think when I think of I'm losing my desire. So that's always a challenge. But the Lord knows our hearts, right? And so what he encourages them with, he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. And then he says, or else I'll come and remove your lampstand or the testimony. So there's things that you can do, right? Like, he's telling them, remember where you're coming from, right? Remember what your first love was. Remember where you were, right? And that's something that is something that we need to kind of be reminded of. And sometimes we forget, even in just human relationships, right? Like husbands and wives, sometimes you can sort of wane in your affections for each other. And you have to remember, like, remember who this person you fell in love with was. Remember, like, you know, all of these things about them. Remember the journey you've taken together and all of those things. And to be reminded. And then there's some degree of repentance, right? To want to turn back from where you're heading. And there's some element of that as well, right? Like, I don't want to head this way. And we kind of sense that in the question, right? They don't want to lose their desire for spiritual things. Mm. That's what it seems like, right? I don't want to be heading this way, or, you know, how do I stop this? So it's good that desire is there. And then it's do the first works, right? Like, continue on. And you can look at the different churches. I also was thinking of Laodicea. They also were lukewarm, right? Their hearts, they weren't cold or hot, and the Lord wanted them to be one or the other, right? The beautiful thing about the way the letters are written in the book of Revelation is that the Lord describes himself in the beginning of the letter to them. And the way he describes himself is sort of what they need. He has what we need, right? So we've been given all the tools and everything we need to live a godly life. And the Lord Jesus has everything we're lacking, he has. Mm-hmm. And everything that we don't have, he has, that he can help us. And he's the one we look to. And so it's important to just remember to repent, to want to turn back and to want to come back. You know, to just look to the Lord for that as well.
Yeah. I mean, if someone was away from the Lord and didn't want to come back, then
they wouldn't be
asking the question, and you'd be worried about other things in the first place. I think also sometimes, you know, the drive, you know, we might get a little too focused on our own desire to do something instead of just doing it, right? So we are to follow the Lord. We are to obey the Lord. We are to love the Lord. We are to love others. We are to not forsake the gathering together of the saints. We are to read our Bibles and obey it. We are to pray and pray and pray unceasingly, right? And so if we decide, well, you know what, the drive is not there, so I'm not going to do it. You know, that would be the opposite antidote to the problem, right? It would make it worse. And it would be a victory for the enemy. You know, honestly, there are times when I'm reading and it's just like words passing before my eyes, but I am reading, right? And that's the thing is the Bible, unlike any other book, sometimes it's easier to read other books, right? Might seem more engaging and so on. But the Bible is the living word of God, and it is the word of God. So when we read it, whether we feel it or not, or even acknowledge it or not, it always has an effect. And it may have an effect that we don't even necessarily aren't in tune with until later on. And then it's not just reading it, obviously, it's meditating on it. I think it's good to, when we read, just make note of at least one verse or one idea that you read, and I do think we should try to read in the morning, no matter how little it is, and to pray in the morning in either order or both orders. You can try either. But try to just make note of a verse or a phrase that sticks out to you. If I could remember the phrase that I read this morning, I would bring it up. Maybe I'll look it up while one of you else is talking. I'll say, because it was something in Judges that it never struck me before, and it just stuck out. And sadly, I forgot to think about it throughout the day, so I'm reminding myself. Just another. So again, to just do the things that we know we are taught to do through Scripture, and that's what it means in some ways to go do those first works, right? The basic things that every Christian should do.
Yeah, I like that aspect of getting back to the reading and those things, because when the Apostle Paul, he spoke to Timothy, he said to give yourself wholly to these things. He said to, and in other translations, he says to absorb it, to basically give yourself wholly, to put yourself, immerse yourself into it. And I think that's what important is, that when you want to fall in love with someone, you want to spend as much time with that person as possible. And that's what I think he was trying to tell Timothy. He said, give yourself to the word of God, basically immerse yourself in it. Basically read it all the time, meditate on it day and night. These are the things that the word of God is telling us to do, because the more you spend time with him, the more you'll see those feelings coming back. You read God's word and you see, trust me, you know, it's just like when they spent with the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24, it says, did not our hearts burn within us? Is that desire will come in as you spend more time with him. Yeah. Another thing also is that if you find yourself, your affections waning, the next thing I would tell you is that, why did you fall in love with the Lord, right? Go back to the basics. Go back to the cross, right? Go back mm-hmm. to how much he loves you and how much he gave himself for you, right? And I think that's something important too. We have to realize that he loves us so much that he came down. He died for us on that cross. He gave himself for us all. I mean, like, that where we have to get back to, and say, like, why did I fall in love with this person? Because he gave his life for me. You know, then let me spend some time with him. And also another thing I think that could, and I don't know what's the aspect of why this person is feel like they're going cold, but it could be that the world is pulling them, right? And I want to bring in a verse that the Lord spoke about in Matthew 24 and verse 12. And verse 12, he says, and because of the evilness or the lawlessness will be increased in this world, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And I want to bring that in also, because it's important because, hold on a second, I'm getting a call. Yeah, I think it's important because, you know, again, the world is going to get more evil. It's going to get more wicked. And that's what's causing many people to grow cold. If you look at another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, because Demas is in love with this world, he had deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And again, it's the love of this world, is the evilness of this world. Is the thing this world is always trying to pull us, trying to pull our attention away. And I think we have to focus, you know, and I'll encourage us to focus. And it happens to all of us. It could be legitimate things. I mean, it could be our jobs. It could be our families. There's so much things pulling us, our attention, but we have to refocus our attention back to the Lord. Why we're in love with him. Why he means so much to us. And I think in any relationship, if you want to get back that desire, you have to find out, why did I fall in love with this person? You know what I'm saying? Why did this person mean so much to me? And then you spending time with that person, it will help in terms of, you know, spurring on that relationship.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, the idea of desire, right? Is it when you have a relationship with someone, the desire isn't always going to be exactly the same mm-hmm. at every point in the relationship, right? Like, just even with, I think of my relationship with my wife, mm. it's way different now than it was when we first started dating and, you know, we got engaged and all the excitement and everything that you're on, you know, it's so different. Now we've been married, we have kids. It's like a way different relationship. My love for her is deeper now than it was, you know, when we first got married, but you know, the desires are different, you know, I still love her. And so I think too, like, expecting it to constantly be the same may not always be realistic, right? We're told, like, don't forget your first love. Like, it's important to remember, but I think also your love is supposed to change and grow, and, you know, desires you know, are going to be different in different phases of your relationship. And I think that's probably also true in our walk with the Lord, right? I can think of times where, you know, I was more motivated for certain things. And then there's times where maybe I'm a little less motivated, but that didn't stop loving the Lord, you know? And sometimes you don't want to do the work, right? Sometimes the desire to whatever the ministry or whatever work you're called to, sometimes it's hard to be motivated for it. And that's why we need to, like we're encouraged, right? Do the first works, you know, and so many times in scripture, I was just thinking of, in Colossians, at the end of the book, he says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord, right? So, mm-hmm. and even to Timothy, sometimes Timothy needed an extra like shove to like keep going. It's very easy to be discouraged. It's very easy to, you know, find ways to just be discouraged and be down. And we need to encourage one another as well, right? To push on and to persevere, because that's why we have community, right? Like we need to encourage one another in our faith and help one another to grow and encourage one another to love and good works. We're supposed to stir one another up. And so we don't want to become like stagnant. We don't want everything to just settle to the bottom. We want to like continue to encourage each other. So it's important, I think, also if we're starting to slow down in our faith and our walk, and we feel like we're losing our desire to surround ourselves with other people who are on fire for the Lord, right? To find others who are committed to following Him, and to link yourself up with them, because they're going to encourage you, right? And we find encouragement with each other, and so like you can't. I struggle with questions like this, with like desire and with like feeling motivated, because that's just not my personality in general. I'm not a highly motivated person, and I'm tend to be very apathetic, but that's why we have each other, right? Like,
yep.
You can't rely on yourself to like motivate and change how you feel all the time, right? Like sometimes your emotions and things, you can't necessarily control that, but there's ways to kind of remind ourselves of where we've come from, and also to like have other people encourage us.
I was also thinking of the Psalm 73 when Asaph says he was all worried about the wicked and their end and everything, and he says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. But just until I went into the sanctuary of God, and there's similar, I think it's Psalm, one of the other Psalms, where David has this desire to be in the house of the Lord. We know that David had a desire to build the house of the Lord. And I think, you know, there's the individual. We put a lot of emphasis sometimes on the individual side of Christianity, like my own responsibility. Right. But Christianity is absolutely, being a Christian means to be a part of a community. I don't mean in some whatever political way. I mean in terms of being around other believers, mm-hmm. right? And not just in person, but absorbing things with other believers, right? Absorbing things about believers, like just what do we spend our time watching and listening to, right? And there's certainly, this, you know, this is not about saying, well, these things are okay to spend your time watching and these things are not. It's not about that. It's about assessing your own life and realizing where is your free time going, you know? So if I'm absorbing entertainment all the time, well, what does that mean? Like, how does that change the way that I think and the way that I like? So when I watch, when I'm entertained and I find, and I'm laughing all the time, and let's say like I've watched, you know, like they scroll and watch funny videos, right? If I'm doing that all the time, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm doing that all the time and that's what's making me happy. Well, don't you think that has an effect on how we view joy and how we view, like the use of free time and so on? And so we have to just be careful. It's not about making it. It can be about making rules for yourself, but certainly not for others, right? So, and then additionally, you know, the other thing obviously is being around other believers. Like, it cannot be said enough. Calling up a brother or a sister on the phone, going out for coffee with a brother or sister, finding out a brother or sister who's struggling and helping them up. You know, these are the things that this is what we're to do, right? As Christians, that those are actions. That's what the Lord did. When we do that, we're obeying him. And when you do that, whether you realize it, whether you think it's spiritual work, it absolutely is spiritual work. That's what the Spirit is asking us to do. And then lastly, just attending the meetings. I mean, attending the meeting is actually the most, it's the hardest in some ways because you have to go somewhere, but it's the easiest because you actually can just go. You know, sure, you might be a responsible brother and someone might say to you, you were quiet today. You'd say, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, no one has an obligation to be heard every single week, right? But when you go, you will hear others speak. You will hear the word of God. You will hear people pray. You will hear people try to encourage you, you know, from all different resources. And so that's in some ways, it's the easiest step because you actually can just go and absorb, right? And be in the presence of, well, that's the other thing, the Lord is there, right? To be in his presence where saints are gathered in his name. So this is like part of the healing process. And so it's important to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, relationships are hard. Any relationship, right? I mean, you know, and I mean, you know, you speak to somebody who's been married 1 year, 20 years, 40 years, you talk to somebody, brother, sister relationships, you know, you have to work at relationships. I mean, there's no relationship you go into and it's like, oh, this is like, you know, you have to work on relationship, you have to work on communication, you have to work on, you know, all these different things, you know, spending time with that person, you know, thing. I mean, like, even going to work every day, don't want to go to work. You know what I'm saying? You know, you do it because you love your family. You do it because you love them. You got to provide for them, right? I mean, like, you know, sometimes I'm just like, what am I doing, man? I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? But you do it because you love them. I got to put my kids through college. I got to, you know, provide food on the table. I got, you know, so all these different things, you do it because you love them. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to, he wants us to have a relationship because we love him. When you read the end of John, when he speaks to Peter, he says, he's asking, do you love me, right? You know what I'm saying? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? That's what he was asking. He was asking, do you love me, right? He wants our relationship to be spurred by how we love him, right? The Apostle Paul says, you know, the love of Christ constraineth me. It controls me. It controls my behavior. It controls everything I do. And when you think about every aspect of when he's speaking to the disciples, when he's telling them, like, I want you to do this because you love me. You know what I'm saying? I want you to do this because you know the love that I have for you. And that's what the basis of all this is. And I think, you know, as you said, if we have that love for the Lord, it will spill over to other people, right? It will spill over to wanting to be with his saints. Because once you have somebody you love, you want to be with the people who love that person also, right? I mean, you know, you love to spend time with those people because, you know, you could speak of that person that you love and stuff like that. So it's really, I think it's important. You have to be around other people who love the Lord because that would help, you know what I'm saying, you know, help us spur on our love for him and we could talk about him. We could encourage one another about him. I think that's important. But I think the basis of all this is that relationships are hard, as we said. You know, in John chapter 6, when he spoke to the disciples, he told the disciples, would you also go away? Because it was hard sayings. It was going to be a hard thing for them to do. To follow Lord Jesus Christ in this world is not easy as a Christian. But we can do it if we can say that we're powered by love for him. We can do it through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so these are things I think is important for this person if they want to gain back that desire is, I would say, focus on love, focus on spending more time, focus on spending more time with his people. And you'll see that relationship grow. But as you said, all these things may change. Our thing go ebb and flow of our relationship with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ stays the same. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we going up and down. Something happened tomorrow, we feel this way, and then tomorrow we feel this way. But Lord Jesus Christ stays the same, And so he's always drawing us and telling us, come, I want to have a relationship with you. It's us. We have our thing. But he still doesn't judge us for that, right? He's still willing to say, look, he said, even if it's sin that's keeping you, he said, you know, I'm willing to forgive that. That's First John, right? He said, just come to me, confess your sin. I'm willing to come to you. So there's nothing that could hinder you. If it's the world, then you need to turn your eyes away from the world. And we know all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all these different things. You know, that's why he says, love not the world. Because it's always affection that's really pulling us somewhere, right? It's either pulling you towards a deeper relationship with the Lord, or is he saying that love not the world? Because the world, it wants you to love it. As you said, you wake up in the morning, you start doom scrolling on whatever you're on, whatever, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. You know what I'm saying? The world is trying to pull your affections and trying to pull your attention. And you have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, let me pray. Let me read. And let me spend some time with him before I do these things.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, right? I think we can all relate to this question. And I just want to say thank you to whoever asked the question. We really appreciate it. It's a very, very good question, very challenging question. And I definitely relate to this. There's been times in my life where I felt very little desire for anything spiritual. And, you know, it's
always been there.
None of us are immune to this. So this is something that, you know, you're not alone. And that's why it's important to reach out to other believers and talk to other believers, because we can help each other. Thank you to those who are praying for this podcast. Please keep doing so. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
No problem.
Jesse, thank you.
It's good having you. Yeah.
It's nice to get back to do this again. So we'll end here, but just want to say thank you to everyone, and God bless.
Bye.
Bye.